thank and praise God for giving me another opportunity to be with you and then to also remember the Lord Jesus Christ, which has brought my heart gladness and praise to God. I've been listening to you from fellow brothers in Singapore, Malaysia, and Indonesia. Yes, very especially the Indonesian told me to come when I'm here to give you their greetings. So I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so glad to see many of you whom I have known before. And that's wonderful. Thank you for coming out. This morning the Lord has laid upon my heart to bring before you something that has been helped to in my own spiritual life. It has been a tremendous blessing. Of course, it's always a blessing to study God's Word, but very especially studying these passages that I'm going to bring before you has encouraged my life, established my life, edified my life in the faith, and have often employed me in the things of God. And so I delight in bringing this to you. I trust that it will be of help. Now, this came about when 10 years ago, when I first visited Syria, Damascus, where a question was asked by one who called David Dawood, and he asked me, how would you know, or how would you explain that Dawood, or David, was after God's own heart? Questions like this often would not occur in our mind. But there are some who in very unique way would search out for God with a yearning heart through their religion to find out what God has for them through the Bible. And at first I thought this man Saleh was trying to be naughty with me by asking a question like that. Or he was trying to fix me up. But subsequently, I realized how my judgments were wrong. He was really wanting to know. He was earnest to know how the Bible would speak about David, a man after God's own heart. And so, now, at this morning, I will, God willing, I will try to bring before you that question answered. First, I would like us to turn to two passages. First one is found in 1 Samuel chapter 16. First Samuel chapter 16. This is not going to be a character study of David. Neither is it going to be an exposition on David. This is going to be a devotional, practical study of what David means to God as a man after his own heart. So that by this we know what we are to be meant to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So chapter 16, 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 18. Then answered one of the servant, behold, I have sent a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing and mighty, valiant man,
a man of war, and prudent in matters, an agreeable person, and the Lord is with him. Saul has a problem, and David was to come and help out Saul. And so David is now sent unto Saul, and that's where we read. The uniqueness of this verse is this: the Lord is with him. Now that's where everything begins. When the Lord is with you, you are a mighty fortress in his hand. You are the majesty of his glory in this world. You are a meaningful avenue of service for this world of sin and degradation. And so we have, number one, the Lord was with him. The second verse that I would like you to turn with me to is, in the same connection, Acts chapter 13 and verse 22. Some of these verses are very familiar to us. We might have read this over and over again. But we will look to the Lord this morning to see what he would bring to our hearts. Again, speaking about David in verse 22, Acts chapter 13, verse 22. And when he had removed him, that is, removed Saul, he raised up unto them, Saul being removed, the request of human, of man, has been removed, the revelation of God has been placed. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be the king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who shall, that's where the whole strength of this wonderful work of God in the life of David stays on. How David came into the heart of God, this is where we see. After my own heart, who shall fulfill all my will? Who shall fulfill all my will? I hope you can draw a line over this, the two sides. One side, the Lord was with him. The other side is that he will fulfill all my will. God's will. No wonder. Now when I showed this to Saleh, I said, this is the uniqueness of God in Christ Jesus. He often come along and he takes up someone, he chooses for himself, and then he prays them on. He will be with that one person as they go on. What a wonder, isn't it? In Christ Jesus, the Lord Almighty in Christ Jesus is with us, isn't it? And he says, lo, I'm with you for time being. Is it? Is it for time being? Lo, I'm with you. No, Matthew's gospel. What does he say? Lo, I'm with you always, all the time. Isn't it? And why is he with us always? So that we may do all his will. Alright, so keep that in mind as we go on in our studies. And David, very interestingly, is a shepherd boy. And we know that from 1 Samuel chapter 16. David is given to us to know as one who is taking care of his father's sheep in the open. Isn't it? 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 11. So you write, David, a shepherd boy. Then secondly, David as a strong servant. Not only he was a shepherd boy, but a strong servant. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 32 we read. 32 onwards to 37 most probably. 32 very especially we read. He was a strong servant, a mighty warrior. We will go on to look into that a little. So we have a shepherd boy who became a strong servant. And then as life goes on, the very shepherd boy who became the strong servant was soon made to be the selected king for Israel. So we have three things to think about: the shepherd boy, the strong servant, the selected king for Israel. And this morning I'm so glad that our hymn we sang, isn't it? That in Christ we are made unto God kings and priests. So wonderful. Yes, as for the kings, we are selected king. I would suggest the verses 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 7 to 13, you would find that he was selected by God for the people of Israel to have their request met. And God was so graciously giving to Israel a king. And 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7 to 13 would speak about the specially chosen king for Israel. I would call the specially chosen king for Israel because the people who chose Saul suddenly found that Saul wasn't that able to lead them on as they had desired. And now Saul has died. And they were looking at Samuel. Samuel was a wonderful man leading them on through. But then, the succeeding generation is not so clear in regards to who can lead them on. And so the concern of the oncoming generation, the concern of the future movement of God was at stake. And so their hearts were in concern. And then they turned to Samuel and said, of course, this is all in the flesh. They turned to Samuel and they said, Samuel, you are a wonderful man, but not your children. Your children were a messed up lot. They're not going to lead us. We're not going to be happy by that leading us. But we have some ideas, Samuel. Choose for us a king. Chose for us a king, and its equation is, chose for us a king like the nations. Why like the nations? Because, you will find out, in their choice they said, like the nations so that he can fight for us. Now in Syria, in Jordan, in Turkey, in Egypt, this is our message. We say, look here, if you want to stop your fighting, you need a king. The king that you have will not do, because the king that is after the desires of man will cause you to fight, besides taking away all that is yours. Isn't that what God said to them? Yes. In chapter 8 of Samuel, you will find that when Samuel was so sad in regards to their request, God told Samuel, Samuel, you need not to be upset. They have not rejected you. They have rejected me. They are looking for a king. So you go on and tell them, if they get a king, what would be the thing that will take place when a king take control over them? So he gave them all the things. Look, the king is going to take away the best of yours. He's going to take away your sons. He's going to take them and make them leaders of his own security forces, his own things that he wants to do to administrate his country. He's going to take away your sons. He's going to take away your daughters to become bakers and cooks in the palace. Now, isn't that what's happening today here? Situation doesn't change, you know. Because when man influences his own life, that's all he has. He may climb the ladder of development. He may climb the ladder of success. He may climb the ladder of many wonderful things. But they all will be constrained by that which God has said to Samuel to tell the people of Israel. If you read chapter 8, you find that out for yourself. And then you see there's one word there in chapter 8, which I don't want to broad point to you now, but I want you to think over and you can discover it. They said, after listening to Samuel, they said, "Nay, we want a king like other nation for the reason they gave you for fighting." You see, the king of the nations are for fighting. Does that give you a little bit of glimpse of what's happening today? I think when the Lord was so gracious, now I know why he brought me here. If not, I would be in Jordan and Syria. He brought me here. If not, I would be in Turkey. And you know what's happening there? I'm sure you know, you're listening to the news. So he avoided me from there. See, God's wonderful movement, wonderful work. How he can use a shepherd boy. And why he used a shepherd boy? Because he saw his heart. His heart, number one, was obedient to God. I'll come back in the next session. I'll stress on this. So before that, I just give you that outline. Since I've already given you three headings, let me just give you the outline so that when you come, you will be better equipped than those who are coming in then. All right, number one, the shepherd boy David. First, we're going to look at his person. What kind of a person is he? He's a faithful to his family. That's the most required characteristic of one whose heart is towards God. Faithfulness towards the family. Because God has chosen to place you and me in a particular family. He has chosen to help you and me build up his family. And we should not go away from that. Because why? He has specially chosen to set us up in that environment, in that situation, in that circumstances, so that we can express, so that we can act upon, so that we can exhibit the faithfulness of God in our life. So that's what I'm going to look through afterwards when we talk about the shepherd boy. As a shepherd, he was faithful to his family. Now, as a shepherd, he was fearless, not only faithful to his family, but he was fearless in carrying out his task, in carrying out his work. He was fearless in all that he needed to perform. As a shepherd boy, he was fearless. As a shepherd boy, he had his concern towards his family. As a shepherd boy, he is now carrying out fearlessly the task. And then, third one, as a shepherd boy, he was absolutely exercising faith in God. As a shepherd boy, he was exercising absolute faith
in God.
You will discover
those things soon.
But let me give you a little more so that when we come back, we don't have to look into those things again. Now, David was the youngest of the 8 children that Jesse had. And David's name, I'm sure you know. His name means beloved. No wonder he was given a wonderful name. Beloved, he was a beloved to the family first. That's why the father named him David. He was a beloved person to the family. And then he was a beloved in the task on which to that was handed over to him. What a beloved person he is. And thirdly, he was a beloved in the faith. Although we do not see him being recorded through the heroes of faith, yet he uniquely outstands the generation of faith. And we will find that out at our next meeting. So I would leave these thoughts with you and seek you to think that David, as the youngest man, and David's name was beloved, David was a shepherd boy, and as a shepherd boy, he had many, many wonderful experiences. Those experiences was there simply because God was with him. Now, our question for us this morning, is God with me? Can I get an answer? Is God with you?
Yes.
Wonderful, isn't it? No wonder he has sought to come, to take a form of man and come into this world just to be with you. He wants to be our Emmanuel in every moment of our life. He is the Emmanuel in every moment of our life if we are in Christ Jesus. But the problem would be that we may forget. We may ignore. We may be so concerned with our instant type of life. Today we are living a life so fast. And we want everything at that instant. I was given a telephone card from which I can call home. And I must tell you, I had a lot of trouble in trying the telephone card. It's not because the telephone card was in any form of error. It is my inability to hold on patiently, to phone up all the numbers and wait for the reply to come and then to fix up the other numbers, you know, and you've got to do a lot of few lines before you can really get through, and then to wait on to see whether there is anyone at my home picking up the phone. And you know, you can get so discouraged and you can even want to throw away your card. I went back to the shop and said, look, your card doesn't work. He says, who told you that? And then he explained to me. I was embarrassed, you know. I was embarrassed. I said, he explained to me and said, look, please take it easy, hold on. You know, in life, we don't want to take it easy, but we want to look at the storm. We want to look at the weakness, we want to look at the giant. We want to look at things instantly taking place. Because why? We are molded into that already now. We are molded into a mold that demands instant. Instant noodles, for instance. And of course, I don't want to forget your coffee. Instant coffee. And what else instant do you have? Now I was told instant baby too from the test tube. What else instant is this world going to go in? And I remember Brother Jeffrey Bull once ministering in our meeting. He says, this world is heading into an instant and an instant death. That's the one thing we don't want, isn't it? If you don't want that, then every moment of your day, just remember, God is with you. And give every thought of Him with you and with me. Since we are so forgetful people, and our eyes are so easily taken away from us, from the things of the Lord, to the mold of this world. So let's take heart today. This morning, have our breast filled with the thoughts of the Lord, that He is Emmanuel, God with us. Lo, I am with you always. I will never leave you. I will never leave you, nor I will never leave you, nor
forsake you,
says the Lord. What a wonderful God who gives us all assurance. But then, the three questions come in. Am I that shepherd boy whose faithfulness it was towards my family? Here the family means your immediate family, the family of God, and also the family in the Lord. Okay? And then, are you a shepherd boy simply fearlessly going out to do the task of God? Or is fear taking away your faith? Is fear clouding out you from your faith exercised in the Lord Jesus Christ and His precious word? Are you the shepherd boy who has absolute faith in God? I leave these questions with you. Maybe when we come back, we will seek to answer them, and hopefully we will enjoy in the presence of the Lord, those wonderful things coming right to our hearts this morning. Shall we pray? Our Father, we rejoice. We thank Thee for giving us the wonderful time of remembering the Lord Jesus Christ. We are blessed. Our hearts are filled with the thoughts of the Lord Jesus Christ. The fragrance of Him is ever coming up in our mind. And so, Lord, we are now beginning to not only smell the wonderfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ, but also we are able now to express them one to another and to the whole wide world as Thou will. So we come giving Thee our thanks, and we give ourselves to Thee as we wait to hear more. And as we fellowship a little together, Lord, may we have something to speak, speaking of the One who loved us and gave Himself for us. For we give Thee thanks.